Okay, I'm going to go back in the book of Joshua again tonight. Preached in there last week. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how God works. And I didn't work this out at all, or this wasn't my plan. When, I'll get Sunday morning message together one day, maybe in the Sunday night message together another day. And man, what a parallel message to what I preached this morning, what we're going to talk about tonight. And wasn't my design. It's just the way it worked out. I told Sherry, I said, I can't believe how this is working out when I decided on this text and just going along with what I wanted to preach on Sunday morning, what I did preach. I got to read the whole chapter to you here, so it won't make any sense if I don't. In chapter 4, Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. But the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped at Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake to the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight, and I pray it encourage our hearts. As always, it's my prayer, Lord, if there's one within the hearing sound of my voice, Lord, if they're lost or feel like they are, Lord, that they would come to you tonight. Lord, wherever they may be, if it's on Facebook or at their home, they bow down and call on your name, Lord, and be saved. And if here, Lord, they would come forward and Lord, what a great day it is when we put our faith and trust in you. So we pray for that tonight. I pray for the rest of us that we're just encouraged by your word again, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Get on the victory side. That's the title of the message. You know, last week I was preaching out of Joshua what took place right up leading to this right here. And we were looking at, there's always a parallel most of the time in the Old Testament. Most of what's going on here is the parallel New Testament chapter is Ephesians. It's parallel in what goes on Ephesians in the life of the Christian. And last week, you know, we were looking at how what happened when they got down to the Jordan. You know, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They wouldn't go over the first time. They could have been in the land of blessing. They could have been in the place that God wanted them to be. God would have blessed them, and man, they'd have had homes and gardens and fields and flocks. But no, they had to wander around for 40 years because of unbelief, wander around in the wilderness. And there's a lot of people, I said last week, there's a lot of people that are saved. I mean, they're not. I'm not saying they're lost. They're Christian folks. They're saved, but they're over on the wrong side of the Jordan. They're over there in the wilderness wandering around, a lot of unbelief in their life. They're not receiving the full blessing that they could get from God, having the peace, all the peace that they could have from God. And so they need to come up, and by faith, and we talked about this last week, by faith, you know, what happened? That river was at flood stage. The priests had to step in the water one step at a time, man, and that's what happens. They couldn't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. And they went over, and now we see that they've got there when the priest, the way it happened, they stepped in the water, and the water got out of the way. It stacked up on one side. I guess the rest of it went on downstream, and they went over, and the priest stood there. When they got over, we see in our text today that they had to take 12 stones out of the river where the priest's feet were, and they stacked them up when they got to Gilgal. It was going to be for a memorial. Now, there's another place in the Bible, the parallel verses that go with this also tell us that they took 12 other stones, and they stacked them up in the middle of the river. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes, but there was another monument out there in the water, and I'll get to that in just a second. And so what we're looking at, really what we're talking about, get on the victory side, we were talking about the way to victory in the Christian life. That's our parallel, how we get victory in the Christian life. A lot of people live defeated Christian life. A lot of people, I don't know about you, but we're going to be in a battle. I like to win more than I lose, right? I mean, I don't want to be losing all the time. You know, we've won the ultimate battle. We're saved and, we've got that, but there's these battles along the way. And I can think most of my Christian life, it seemed like if there was somebody keeping record, I guess God keeps record, but not the same way I would. But, you know, if we were keeping record, we'd find out that we probably lost more of the battles than we won. You know, we were just losing. It has to do with putting our faith and trust in God and those type things and just going about things the right or the wrong way. And so last week we saw how to approach the Jordan River in preparation for crossing into the land of Canaan. Not heaven. Canaan is just the place in this life that God's trying to get us to. And, and a lot of people, this is where, and maybe I touched on this last week. A lot of people have, you get saved. I mean, obviously that is some kind of progress. You know, you didn't know nothing about the Lord. You didn't know nothing about salvation and all that. And, you got saved. You made some forward motion there. You know, you turned to Jesus, you trusted Jesus, you got saved. And then maybe, you did the other thing, you got baptized, man, you got in church, and then maybe you even started serving God. Man, I got saved on a Thursday night when the preacher was going down the steps. I'm going out the door behind him. I'm on the steps, and he's going down the steps, and I'm setting up when I'm going to get baptized. We're getting the date lined up right there, and I wanted to know if I could join the choir. And he said, yeah, yes, sir, you can join the choir. And all on the same day that I got saved. I mean, I'd been in the church a little bit, going some weeks to the church. And so all in one shot, man, I mean, I was going to serve God somehow. And, wanted to get baptized, got excited about the things of God. And so, what happens to us is we'll go a lot of times, a lot of Christians, and it's all different. If you had a graph, if you had everybody in a row up here across the front of the church and we were seeing our progress in our Christian life, it would be one of them graphs that kind of goes around like that. Everybody, you might be a little bit farther out here, and you might be back here just a little bit. Somebody else might be back up there. Everybody gets to a place, but what happens is a lot of times, no matter where you are on the scale, you've stopped. You just stopped. You know, and there you are, stuck. If you want to call it stuck, some people just get satisfied before they're at the Christian life. They get satisfied. You know, those 3.5 tribes I mentioned, it said 3.5 tribes were prepared for war and they came over with them. But guess what? You know why? Because they promised Moses, they said, we'll go over and help you fight, but we want to live back on the other side of Jordan. Why in the world do you want to live over there? Well, they said the grass was good for cows. I guarantee you the grass over there where God was going to send them was better for the cows than the grass on that side. Huh? I mean, or at least as good. And plus, this was going to be where God wanted you to be. But They said, Moses said, okay, look, you can stay over here, but I'm tell you what, you got to come over here and help us fight the battle. And so, you know, but that's what that was about, those three and a half tribes, Reuben, Gad, and one of the half tribes, back over on the other side. See, a lot of people, and that, boy, what a picture. There's a lot of people there that maybe go a little bit farther. They go a little farther in the Christian life, but then they back up. Backslidden. You know, backslidden's in the Bible. That's the word in the Bible. That's where we got it. They backslide just a little bit. Not all the way back. Not all the way back to where they were, but back some. Not as faithful as they once were. Not serving God like they once were. Not as enthused about the things of God as they once were. Yeah, they'll slide back just a little bit, get back on the other side of the river, close, but not over where God wants them to get. That happens as well. And so we can see that in our text there, the parallel that we have in our text. And, you know, we're talking about Canaan, the place that God wants to get us to. Listen, if God wants to get you to a place, it's going to be the best place. It is going to be the best place. You don't have to, that's all you got to know. You know, you don't have to. I like the idea back when they originally went, this is where I think they messed up. Because we try to put human reasoning in everything. You know what? When Moses said, I'm going to send the guys over to spy out the land, that's a good military strategy and everything. But I'm going to tell you what, if God gave it to you, you don't need to spy it out. Just go on over there. Because that's where they got the fear. They started walking by. See, what do you do when you spy out the land? You're looking. What did they see? Well, they saw grapes and land that flowed with milk and honey, but they also said there was giants in the land, a lot of people. Caleb and Joshua said, it don't matter, let's go. They was ready. You know what they should have said? Let's just go anyway. We had a missionary one time, that had talked to me, and he said, listen, you know, a lot of missionaries, what they do, they feel like God's calling them to a mission field, and then they do a survey trip. That's what the term they use. They go over to the land, they look around, they check out the city and all that and everything. This guy here said, man, I don't need to take a survey trip. He said, God wants me to go to this land and go over there and preach the gospel. That's all I need to do. Now, human, you think, well, you know, it's not real wise. Listen, man, if God's leading you, he's going to lead you right. He's going to lead you right. And, you know, he went on over there. So here's what happened. They probably messed up 40 years ago by spying out the land. Just go. God said, get on over there and get it. You're going to get it. Go on over. And he got it. He led them right to the very place that they were supposed to cross the river. I mean, he got it right down that close, right? What do you got to look at on the other side? And so they probably messed that up. And so here they are, you know, the place that God wants us to get is always going to be better than the place that we want to get. And unless they line up, you know, a lot of times they don't. So now we've got this crossing. They're getting ready to go over into the land. Think about that. Of course, all the males that were at a certain age, people that were at a certain age above that didn't go over before had died. Joshua and Caleb was the only ones left of that group. And all the new people, man, they've been wandering around the wilderness. How exciting, man, they're going to go over and get to the other side into a new land, the place that God had intended for them to go. And they've got to, you know, get established in the land that God wanted them to do. And listen, what they had on the other side. As I said, Canaan cannot picture heaven because there was battles to fight. You know, we had Jericho right off the bat, right? You know how but you know, look how it went, man. I mean, march around the city once a day for 7 days, blowing on a trumpet. Seventh day, go around seven times, blow the ram's horn, the walls fall down, you walk in, take the city. I mean, how hard can it get? You know, I mean, how easy, you know, that was it. Was there a battle of stuff to do? Yeah, God had something for him to do. There was battles to face. And the reason that we say it's not heaven, because there's not going to be any battles in heaven. Pictures of spiritual battles. Listen, you get to the place where God wants you to be. I don't care where it is. Do you think you're not going to have any spiritual battle? No. I'm going to tell you what. Matter of fact, the closer you get to where God wants you to get, the more spiritual battles you're going to have. But I'm going to, now here's the, I don't know if a paradox is probably not the word I'm looking for, but the closer you get to where God wants you to get, then the closer you are to God. And the closer we walk with God, you know, we got the armor on. The closer we walk with God, then the more prepared we are to face the enemy or the opposition or whatever it is we have to face. See, so we're more equipped. So here it is. Listen, you know, like I said, maybe I said this last week. I can't remember. They all blend together. we get this battle, you know, we get this if we're not doing anything for God, Satan doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to mess with it. Matter, he's already got you. So you don't have any spiritual conflict much. It's when you start trying to progress in the Christian life. Now all of a sudden, man, there's disappointment, discouragement, frustration. That's not coming from God. Sometimes things do because God wants to increase our faith, right? It's a trial, it's a test, right? God does, you know, so, but what happens is these spiritual battles, they come up, man. It's like, oh, man, you know, it's the closer we get to God. And so in front of these people that got over the river, listen, there was Jericho, and there was hundreds of other little towns all around just like that in the land that they were going to have to go possess. There was going to be battles, but look how great they went. They would have went. Ai, they got defeated at Ai all because of sin in the camp, and they should have beat them easily, and they even knew it. But there's hundreds of places like that they've got to capture those places. There's got to be battles. Do it according to what God says. Some of it didn't require hardly any fighting at all, even in the case of Jericho. Blessings and battles, they always go together. That's just the way it is. The ministry, I'm telling you, the ministry is such a, it's like a thing. Right here in the same day, you'll have a blessing, man. I mean, just God moves, somebody gets saved, just something. And in the same day, the same breath, somebody just, you get let down, disappointed, discouraged. You got bad news on this. You know, it's like, I mean, it's all the time like that, all the time. You just kind of got to get even keeled, you know. That's just the way it is. It's just always been that way. And it's not just in our time. It's always been that way. Blessings and battles go together in the Christian life. So here they are. They're getting ready to go over. They've crossed the river. What an exciting time. I'm going to tell you what, man. The Red Sea and there, to see the water stack up for the river on one side, you know, and see the water start piling up and you just walk over on dry ground. That'd have been a hoot, man. Huh? Look at that. You know, you can just, God did that. You know, I mean, these people saw this. God did this. I mean, what an exciting day. But guess what? Now you got a fortified city right there in front of you. Now what are we going to do, Lord? Well, God didn't tell them. God didn't say back there, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get over there on dry ground. And everybody's going to live. Nobody's going to drown. Everything's going to happen. It's going to be great. And then you're going to go to Jericho. Don't worry about it. God didn't say, here's the format or the agenda for the upcoming week. Then we're going to march around the city. All you're going to have to do is go around once a day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times, blow the horn. The walls are going to fall down, and you just walk in there and take over the city. God didn't tell them that. He got a fortified city in front of them. And I can see it now. They couldn't have been Baptists. Huh? Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? Huh? Man, we got a walled city. I don't just know how we're going to do it. I don't know what doing. Joshua, he don't know what he's doing. He just don't know what he's doing. He's going to lead us up there, and we're just not prepared for it. I just don't. What are we going to do? Everybody back there mumbling and murmuring. Everybody's all in the pan. Couldn't have been Baptist. We don't have any record of that. Huh? They went right up there. Huh? And God said, okay, this is what's going to happen. Guess what? They was going to have other cities. Now, you know what happened to Ai? They didn't pray about it. They would have found out Joshua known sin was in the camp. He didn't pray about it. They got defeated there. Little minor setback. They had prayed about it. Got away from prayer. Boy, but just think about it. Every place they went, I mean, there was something that was, God was going to intervene somehow along the way. So they had the excitement of crossing the river, the mountaintop experience. But then they had the reality of we got to fight a battle, not knowing that God was going to deal with it the way they thought. You with me? Everybody got a pulse, breathing? All right, check your neighbor. Make sure they're with me. Okay, just checking to see if you're with me. So war is about to begin. And as I said, as it does for everyone that moves forward in the Christian life. There was lessons, they still had lessons to learn. Listen, it wasn't over when they got to the place that God would have them to get to. There's no place you're going to get to and all of a sudden one day, hey, everything clicked. I know everything there is to need to know. I'm not going to learn another thing. There's nothing left for me to learn in my spirit. No, you're not going to get there. Not in this lifetime. No, sir, that's not going to happen. They had lessons to learn. And we can learn lessons from what they learned as well. One of the things that they had to do, one thing they had to do, is wait for instructions from God. Oh, brother, wait. We got a problem right here. See, we are in the instant society. I was reading a thing on the other day that was given it. They did a study to find out how long somebody on a computer, this is where we waste our money, how long somebody on a computer, if they click a link, how long before they'll just forget about it if it don't pop up? If it don't make it in 5 seconds, it's over. You know, I forgot it had a big percentage of people just go on, move on to something else. 5 seconds. And man, how many of you remember back in the old computer days when you had the old zzz, 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 you hear the thing doing that, zzz, and the little picture would scrum down or up, however it went. Zzz, 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 had one of them old Colt commanders. Zzz, zzz, booting up, man. I mean, you could cook supper while that thing booted up. Huh? Now, you know, if it's not like in 2 seconds, like 4G ain't good enough. We got to have 5G. See, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait till it's 10G. I'll go ahead and get it then, right? Because 5G is going to be old hat here. They already probably know what's going to replace it, right? Oh, it's got to be fast. So they got this study. Like, I forgot they had the seconds. If a certain amount of people, if it doesn't go in 3 seconds, they're already getting frustrated. This frustration factor comes in. If it gets to 5 seconds, they're going off the link, you know? I mean, it's crazy. We want everything instant. Instant pudding, microwave oven. Everything's got to be like, you know, like right now. We understand it. But they had to wait for instructions from God. Hard thing to do sometimes, just wait. Impatient man. Wait, you know. Think about that. It's one of the hardest things to do. And what happens if we don't wait? We rush ahead in our own plan. How's that work out? A lot of times it don't work out. We get ahead of God. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that doesn't have anything to do with this, but it's called having zeal without knowledge. It was a criticism on some of the people in the Old Testament. They had zeal without knowledge. It's good to have zeal. But see, if you don't have knowledge to go with the zeal, you get overly enthusiastic and you rush into something without the knowledge that you need to have, you know, to take care of things properly. And that's what will happen when we get ahead of God. Gilgal, that was the place that they crossed. It became the base of all their operations. When they got over across the other side, they got to Gilgal. Apparently, it wasn't too far away. They got there. That was the base of their operations. That's where they did from that place right there. Joshua frequently returned to that place right there, to that place. And I, you know, when I thought about that, I read it said sometimes in the midst of battles, sometimes after he'd won battles, there was a few defeats that he had, and sometimes he would return to that place after defeats. And I think sometimes, you know what? You know what I do in my mind sometimes? This ain't a bad deal. I just think back to when it was all brand new. I think back to the day I got saved. When everything was new, everything was exciting. Man, it was just a whole nother life. I think back to the day I got saved, man, and going to them old meetings and all that. This year when we were at the prayer advance, I got to talking to Kevin Altizer. He's a pastor up in Craig County, up at Newcastle. And his dad's a pastor too. And we got to talking, and they used to go to this camp meeting that I went to the first time I went to a camp meeting thing where we went and got a hotel and stayed all week up in Princeton, West Virginia. And he said, yeah, the old Mountaineer Baptist camp meeting. He said, it's still going on. It's still going on. The pastors died that used to be up there then and all that. They went to it. Man, I remember that. Like I was telling y'all about it the other day, maybe Wednesday night I was talking about it when we stood up and they did that song, it was on a Monday that somebody touched me, and everybody got saved on Monday, stood up. We're all singing, it was on a Tuesday, and when it got to Thursday, I stood up because I got saved on a Thursday. Man, that was all news. Sometimes I just got to go back. Sometimes we got to go back to the place, back to the cross, right back to the place that we got saved and think about it. Think about that. Sometimes we got to go back. So he would come back to Gilgal a lot of times, oftentimes, just thinking about what God had done. It's a place of readjustment, I guess we say. There's 6 lessons that's tied up in this that we can learn from what happened at Gilgal. Fortunately for you, we're not going to go through all 6 of them tonight. We're only going to do 2. The plan may be 2 tonight, 2 next week, and 2 the week after that, unless I can get 4 in next week. But we're just going to do 2 of them tonight. We're going to look at them. Listen, what we look at when we're looking at this, it's not a way to victory. It is the way. It's the only way to victory in the Christian life is what we're going to talk about. It's not the way of a fanatic. It's not the way of an extremist. It's the way that any Christian has to go to experience victory in their life. That's just the only, it's one, it's not multiple ways. It's just one way right there. Number one, we see that Gilgal was a place of remembrance, a place of remembrance. 12 stones, put them and take them and put them on the victory side of the river. That was, if they got through, they got on the other side, they piled up 12 stones. Don't know how big they were, said the priests bear them. I imagine they weren't too big. They could, you know, had to be something they could carry. Average priest, I mean, average person carry a rock. But 12 stones, and they just carry those over there. And it was supposed to be a lasting memory of what happened that day. And stack them up over on the side of the shore right there. 12 stones taken from where the priest's feet stood in the midst of the river. Everybody knew that those stones came out of the midst of the river right there in that flood. 12 more stones, like I said, you read in other places in the Old Testament. There was 12 more stones put right in the midst of the riverbed. And they were visible all the time. Listen to this, is key, because I'm going to tell you something about it at the end. They were visible all the time except when the river was at flood stage, which the river then had been at flood stage. Remember when the priest stood, it was at flood stage, and they put the river in there. So when the water came back, they probably couldn't see them right then. But when the river was at normal flow, they could see those stones probably sticking up out of the water out there just a little bit. And so verse 10 said, where the priest stood and the people walked, and the priest stood firm is what that means right there. So what's all that mean? Like I said, what's the parallel for the New Testament that would apply to us? Well, the central theme in the Bible, all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, really the central theme is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the central theme as well. And Jesus hung on that cross. He died. He stood firm until everything that God the Father had commanded him to do was done. And what did Jesus say when he hung on the cross? He said, it's finished. It said those priests, they stood in that river until everybody, all the children of Israel, crossed over to the other side. And they stood there and said, till they were done. They got on the other side. You see a parallel picture with the cross as far as involved in that. The sin question, when Jesus died on the cross, the sin question was answered once and for all. Everything was settled. And like I said earlier, what a companion verse for what I was speaking about today. Not only did the priests go down into the river, but all the people went down into the river. What did I say this morning? When Jesus died on that cross, there was more than him dying on that cross. Every believer died with him. If we have the Christ life and he's a crucified Savior, it's a crucified life. That's what we're to have. You know that we're dead. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. When was he crucified with Christ? On the day Jesus died on the cross. Now, Paul wasn't saved yet, but Jesus was dying for the sins of the whole world. It was going to apply to everybody that trusts him by faith. That was going to apply to them. And it's the crucified life. Exactly the same thing I talked about. That was the picture. They went down into that river. That river would picture the floods. If you look in the Old Testament at the scriptures that deal with Jesus hanging on the cross, and in particular Psalms where the floods, that he just felt like the flood that overflowed him as he hung on the cross. Okay, that's the picture of the water, and Jesus went in, but not only Jesus, but also every believer with him. That fellowship of the cross is seen in this river scene that we see right there. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. There it is, Romans 6:4. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Like I said this morning, listen, you can't have a resurrected life until you die. You got to have a death before you can have a resurrection. Too many people trying to drag that old dead body with them over onto the resurrection side. No. Now you got to be dead. And so there was the base of operations there at Gilgal. This was the supply base for Christian victory. And our supply base for Christian victory is understanding that Jesus was not alone on the cross, but that all his people went into death with him. That old man died. That's it. The old guy, I can, in my mind, we were looking, they had a bunch of, Sherry dug up some old photo albums. We got them back in there when the kids were small. Danielle was just a baby when I got saved. You wasn't a year old yet, I don't think, or maybe. No, I don't think, you weren't a year old yet when I got saved. She was just a baby. Got all those old pictures back out, you know, as the kids and this and that. But you know what? I remember that old guy. But it's like an out-of-body experience. Huh? I'm out looking at that guy. I remember in my mind, mentally, I don't think the same way. It's like another person. It's just got to be. It can't be the same person. Because he died. That guy died. And now it's a new, like, I know what you're thinking. Good night. If this is how it is, I'm glad that guy died. Good night. I'm going to want to be around him. If this is what we got after the new life, it's like, listen, I read about this Christian missionary. It was a lady, and she was going to go to China. And her family, they questioned her. Her family and friends said, listen, what are you going over there for? Where she was going? Said, you're going to be dead in 6 months. You're going to be dead in 6 months. The missionary lady said this. She said, let me tell you something. She said, 5 years ago, I died. I died 5 years ago. I died when Jesus called me to China. I bowed my head at the cross and died to everything except God in China. I died to all my hopes. My hopes of having a husband, my hopes of having children. Not that she never would have hopes or that she couldn't have those things, but that wasn't a priority. She died to her will. She said, I died. Our call as Christians is to reckon ourselves dead with Christ, like I said this morning, and die to everything except God and God's will. That's it. There's no other way to victory. Anytime you resist the will of God, you're in the flesh, you're on the flesh side. That's that old man. And I'm going to tell you what, the victory is just not going to, we're not going to get it. It's not going to be in the, we're not going to be in the full, those tribes that stayed on the other side, what was it that led them back to that side of the river? Wasn't God. It was the flesh. He said, boy, that grass is good. It's going to be good for cattle. Did they live all right over there? Yeah, they got attacked all the time. The rest of the tribes was over here, and they were over there on that side of Jordan was the enemy's land. And guess what? They were constantly getting attacked. And like I said, you know, even though we said that there's battles on this side too, but over there the battles were worse. You think, oh, well, you know what? Because there was failures. It was always failures with them on that side. It's got to be Jesus only. What does the cross mean to you? Before God raises his people to victory, to the glory of his kingdom, he takes them down into the bedrock of Jordan like we saw in our text. John 12:24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Y'all know that verse, right? You know, I always heard that verse right there applied to Jesus. I mean, all my Christian life I heard, and it is applied to Jesus. I mean, he's talking about his death on the cross. If he dies on the cross and he's buried in the ground, that he's going to bring forth much fruit. Not until recently did I discover that, you know what, it also applies to us? It applies to us. It's the same. Jesus was telling them that, the people that. That same illustration right there. And you know, you ever wonder about, you know what, I'm not very effective. I'm not very fruitful in ministry, or I'm not very fruitful in winning people to God. You know, maybe the problem is because we just haven't died. We haven't but died like a corn of wheat and been put in the ground and bringeth forth much fruit. We haven't died to ourselves. We're not totally in God. Maybe that's what the problem is. Maybe that's why our ministry is not effective as it could be. We haven't reckoned ourselves dead with Christ. And then we are abiding alone, according to that verse. It applies to us as well. If we are in fellowship with Christ, the crucified Christ, it has to. Have you died to your reputation? Have you died to your point of view? Have you died to your self-esteem? Have you died to your own desire, even if your desires of themselves are not sinful? As Ron Lynch said, that what I said this morning, what that pastor said one time when he looked at everybody and said, when did you die? Do you know when you die? Have you reckoned that? Gilgal is a place of remembrance. Remembrance of the fact that Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And then he died. That's a place of remembrance. The second point is, it's the place of resurrection. We see in verse 19 of chapter 4, said, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Guess what the 10th day of the first month is? It was exactly 40 years previously that they had left Egypt. The first day of the 10th month, 40 years before they left Egypt. Not a coincidence. It was planned by God. The Passover lamb had been killed. The blood would sprinkle. The people delivered out of bondage. Boy, that's the picture of resurrection. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness of carnality, unbelief, and disobedience. And now they've gone through Jericho, and they've camped at Gilgal, got to that place. Man, I like all the things that go with that story. You know, the Bible says that their clothes never wore out. Didn't get them from Walmart. Said the soles of their shoes, 40 years of walking around. I don't know where you get those shoes. They'd be good. Their clothes that didn't wear out. God, even though they were in disobedience, you know what? God took care of them. God was faithful even though they were wandering around in 40 years. But now they've gone through Jordan. They've got to Gilgal. I bet you there was this excitement, just a buzz that was going around through the camp. You know what the word Gilgal means? The word Gilgal means the reproach has been rolled away. That's what that word means. The reproach when they, you know what, wandering around over there in the wilderness, God took them out of Egypt. You know what all the nations round about was saying for 40 years while they wandered around out there? That God ain't big enough to get them over where he wants to get them. Can't do it. Just wandering around. Look at them. Wandering around. What a life is that? What kind of life is that? Just wandering around, living in tents, all around, people dropping like flies till all that generation, all the nations round about them said, man, they ain't much of a God. It was a reproach to God that they wandered around for that long. But now they've gotten to the place that God led them. The reproach has been rolled away. Listen, any believer living in carnality and spiritual defeat and failure is a reproach to God. Just wait it. You know, we got a testimony of some kind. We just do. It's a good one or a bad one. Listen, I'm telling you what, man. Listen, you might say, well, you know what? I just don't. You know, if you're not witnessing for God, if you're not living for God, you know what? The world looks out there and say, well, they know. They say, they say they're a Christian, or we know they're a Christian. We know they go to church, but I don't see anything going on in their life. I don't see excitement in their life. I don't see them doing anything for God. Man, listen, I can get all this without God. You know, that's a reproach to God. Living in defeat, falling in, when we sin. That's always been, when I got saved, listen, my fear when I got saved, and since I've been saved, my fear has always been, listen, I can let myself down. I do it many times. Don't want to, but I do. But I tell you what, I just didn't want to let God down. That is the worst of it, is letting God down. The failure, you know, the failure that, and I'm tell you what, man, it's, and that's the way we all should feel. We shouldn't want to let God down. We don't want to be a reproach to God. We want people to see the victory. The world needs to see God's people on the victory side. That's what they need to see. Listen, when we cross over to the place of God's appointment, that reproach is rolled away. Gilgal is the place of resurrection. Listen, a truly saved man, I don't believe, there's some people believe you can lose your salvation. I don't believe it. I don't believe you can lose it because we didn't do anything to gain it, and we can't do anything to lose it. There's a lot of people, why they say that, there's a whole lot of people says they're saved and they're not. And they get back and they fall and they say, well, look, they fell away. No, they never. Jesus said about that one group, he said, I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and you were lost again. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. But I'll tell you what, he may choose to go back into the wilderness like those 2.5 tribes decided to go back. People may go back to something like that in their life. I don't think they're lost, but I think they can go back. But the man that presses on into the land of blessing, that's where you step into the place of victory. Right there. You know, I always said this about Christianity. It's not stagnant. You're either moving towards God or you're going away. It's like a car on a hill with no brakes. You cannot stop and stay in one place. Well, I'm get to this point right here and I'm going to stay right here for a little while and then maybe I'll move up. No, no, no. When you start stopping, you start sliding back. You start sliding back because that's not God's will. You're already not in God's will. You're going back. It's not God's will. It's our will, His will, that we go forward. Now you're wandering around in the wilderness. And even when they wandered around the wilderness, they wasn't still, were they? Why didn't God just take them to one spot? And just say, just sit right there for 40 years and then everybody die. Why wandering around? Looking for what? You know? You're not sitting still. In either way, you cannot sit still. Why would they want to go back and live in the land of Egypt again? Why would anybody want to do that? Especially after they know the blessings of God, why would a person want to go back? That shows you how deceptive Satan can be. Now he can get that thing looking like gold and it's not really gold. And some people do. What happens if you do that? What do? Just go back to Gilgal. Get back to that place right there. Get back to the cross. Get back. There's a fella in this church right here. He's not here right this minute. He told me one time. Got saved here. I baptized him in the creek. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me telling this. Only reason I'd say it, but I won't tell you who it is. And one time he started backsliding a little bit. He started missing church, things like that. And he told me, he said, you know what? He said he had a safe, I guess, at his house. And he said, I'd open my safe for something else. And he said, there was a picture of when you baptized me and you in the water. He said, I started looking at that. He said, man, I got to get back to faith and get back to God. Look back at that day, went back to that place of the representative burial. That's what baptism is. It's a representative burial that you died with Jesus on the cross. And now you've been resurrected into new life. That's what it pictures. It doesn't wash anything away other than old fleas or something you got. It doesn't wash your sins away, but it's representative of that. But he got back to that place, right? See, he saw that. He said, man, I've got to get back. I've got to get back. And he did. And he's been back ever since. It's like that right there. But that's what we do. We get back to the place, the cross, the place of death, the place of resurrection. We're identified not only with Jesus in his death, as I said this morning, but we're also identified with him in resurrection. And I don't know why anybody, it's hard to see, but you know what? That going back to the other side, what did I say last week? Remember what I said? You know, what am I doing? I'm just walking, right? One step at a time. You know how you backslide? It's not like that. It's not like you sprint back. It's just slipping back, a little step at a time, a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't know. And so what happens is you get a little farther back and you get used to that. And then you get a little bit back and you get used to this. And you get a little bit back and he goes, why would anybody just want to go back? Why would anybody want to go back to the other side, the side of the wilderness wandering, you know? But our flesh, I know our flesh is weak. We're flesh on earth, but we're spirit in heaven. And here's the key. Which one's going to control your life? Going to be your spirit or your flesh? That's the thing. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror. Say, all right, what's going to control me today? Going to be the flesh, going to be the spirit. And then I'd recommend some lengthy time in prayer and some time in the Word of God. And I believe you'll be on your way to the spirit controlling your life instead of the flesh. You start smelling them biscuits and gravy in the other room there, Larry, and the flesh is going to take over. And you, it's going to get you. That's what happens right there. Anytime we sin, it was the flesh controlling our life. And we don't have to have that happen. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to be controlled by the flesh because Jesus he overcame that on the cross and we died with him on the cross and we can overcome it too because of his life in our life. And I spoke about that this morning. We can claim by faith the victory of the resurrected life of Christ is ours. Faith makes it real. The only thing Satan can do to you is put doubts in your mind. That's all he can do. He can't take it from him. He can't do anything that way. He can only put the doubt. And that's how, this is how, where does Satan, the place that Satan works the most? It's right here. It's in your mind. Gets in there and he starts putting things in your head. I know, even with the visual things, the attacks I talked about this morning, it still works on this, the mind. That's the only place he can get. The Israelites, when walking by faith and obedience, they were invincible. You know, they after Ai, they never lost a battle for 7 years. Huh? That's a pretty good track record. Never lost a battle for 7 years other than Ai. That was the only one. And that was because they didn't pray, went into battle without talking to God. Man. Now listen to this. This is the last thing, and I'll be done here in just a second. If ever an Israelite wanted to go back over the Jordan, guess what they had to come to? They had to come to that first pile of rocks. They come to that memorial right there and said, man, they were going to have to go by that witness right there. Said, this God brought you over here. This is where God wants you. He established that memorial right there. To backslide, they were going to have to pass that pile of rocks right there. And then not only this, when they got, if they decided to still go on, guess what? They got about, they listen, the water wasn't going to part letting them back. So number one, they weren't going to go back on flood stage. You know why? Because they already didn't have no faith. Their faith was already weak. They weren't going back over that river in flood. So the rocks were visible. They were going to have to wade right by that next pile of rocks. 12 rocks out there in the middle of that river. That was the next testimony that they were going to have to get past. God speaking to their mind, speaking to their mind. Boy, you had to put some effort into this deal. That was going to be some conviction getting on the other side back across that water right there. So if we backslide, we become carnal, worldly. The cross, the empty tomb cries out to us every time. Just like this man looking at that baptism picture. He said, man, that was it. I think that was no accident that picture popped up when it did. Get on the victory side. And the victorious life is only life in the measure in which it is death. Is that making sense to you? The victorious life is only life in the measure, the same measure in which it is death, that we die. The same measure that we die to the world is the measure that we have to life in Christ. That's the measure that we look at. That's the way God planned. And it's the only way. It's the only way to victory in the Christian life. That's the only possibility. Let's all stand.